Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town, with a picture window overlooking a yard. And you found it. Now, when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats too. Your neighbor's daily pickleball game. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards that zero-turn lawnmower you've always wanted. And after using its head-shaping technology to meticulously sculpt the face of the Mona Lisa into your grass, you'll become the undisputed king of Saturday morning lawn care, leaving your neighbor and sworn enemy Gary to question his place in the delicate neighborhood ecosystem. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News, Your Voice, Your Vote. I'm Michelle Franzen. Americans lining up to cast ballots across the country. Aside from a few hiccups reported, election officials say there are no major issues. In Ohio, voter Alec Cario says there was a slight delay at his polling place in Parma.
It's moving along a little better than it was. I think they had like a scanner down. I got here like 9:45. It's like 11 now, so wasn't too bad, but I was with my mom, so I had someone to talk to.
Voters choosing if Kamala Harris or Donald Trump will be the next president, along with which party controls the House and Senate.
It's going to be an interesting dynamic tonight because Republicans feel very good about their chances of taking the Senate. Democrats feel good about their chances of taking the House. And whoever gets into the White House, if both of those remain true, is going to be disappointed in one shape or form or function with one of the various houses of Congress.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. Election officials say they don't expect to have all the results finalized tonight. This is ABC News. One of the most closely watched states on this election day is the battleground of Pennsylvania, and not just at the presidential level.
Pennsylvania's incumbent Senator Bob Casey has represented the Keystone State as a Democrat since 2006. He's being challenged by Republican Dave McCormick, a former hedge fund manager, in a race that leans Democratic, according to 538 Analysis. There's also a competitive House race in PA District 7, encompassing Allentown, as well as just north in PA District 8, which encompasses Scranton. President Biden carried Pennsylvania by a one-point margin in 2020. Mike Dubusky, ABC News, Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
A big change at Buckingham Palace. The front gates usually only open for the royals and the changing of the guard. But starting next year, they'll be open for tourists. The 90-minute guided tour will cost about $117. It's all part of King Charles's effort to increase access to the monarchy's London headquarters. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Still getting around to that fix on your car? You got this. On eBay, you'll find millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. Doesn't matter if it's a major engine repair or your first time swapping your windshield wipers. eBay has that part you need, ready to click perfectly into place. For changes big and small, loud or quiet, find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. But you already know that. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Allen. I'm Raymond Newpert. Today is Election Day. Polls are open until 8 p.m. If you're coming out to cast a ballot, be sure to bring your photo ID with you. And if you're coming to register to vote, bring a proof of residency with you as well. The Republican National Committee has filed a lawsuit against the city of Milwaukee. Bob Haig has more.
The RNC claiming the Milwaukee Election Commission arbitrarily limited the number of observers allowed in some early in-person absentee voting locations to one from each political party and will do so again at the polls on Tuesday. Election Commission Executive Director Paulina Gutierrez said observers may be subject to reasonable limitations under authority granted chief inspectors under state law, but the Republican Party was not denied presence of an observer during in-person absentee voting and won't be denied on Election Day. She said city attorneys will respond to any lawsuit.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz campaigned in La Crosse on Monday in behalf of Vice President Kamala Harris.
Billions of people around the world can't imagine having the freedom to gather in a room like this to determine the future of how we want to be governed. A future that either goes backwards, is divisive, dark, and angry, or one that is hopeful, unified, inclusive.
Walz encouraged young people to vote and urged others to do so as well. He was making stops in Wausau and Milwaukee as well. Republican vice presidential candidate Ohio Senator J.D. Vance also made a stop in La Crosse. If you're planning to stay up and wait for election results tonight, you could be a while. The head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, Ann Jacobs, is predicting that they'll be done by 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday. That's because there's over 1.5 million absentee ballots that need to be counted. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
Christmas, when we were growing up, was different. It was about being hunkered down in your hometown and hearing the same stories Dad always told about Christmases past. While I like those traditions, I wanted something easier. This year, we're all meeting in Alexandria, Minnesota. The kids, their kids, card games, hot chocolate, all the outdoor fun, and oh, we'll still tell stories, but we'll also be making new stories, too.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Dreary and soggy today, with scattered showers and even some thunderstorms expected this afternoon, which could be strong to severe, bringing some gusty winds. Otherwise today, expect patchy fog, highs only reaching the upper 40s, and breezy winds. For fall and winter getaways, check out Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com. Currently, it's 45.
The U.S. dollar lost value today. That has helped to support modest gains in wheat, corn, and soybean futures. Soybean meal was mixed, and soybean oil was moderately lower. That drop in bean oil was despite gains in crude oil. Again, the cattle complex cannot ignore what's happening in beef trade, but lean hog futures decided to ignore the rally in cash hogs.
Live from Election Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Directly following the news, Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. So, welcome to AgriTalk, everyone. Glad that you are joining us on this Tuesday afternoon. It is Election Day 2024, and Davis and I started the morning show with the Pledge of Allegiance, okay?
That's right.
Had to kick off Election Day with a bang there. Yes, sir. Hope that you've all made it to the voting booth. Mm-hmm. Get involved. Davis, I knew that I wanted to start the day with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay.
I didn't really know why. All and right. Then you said something later in the morning show that just brought like extreme crystal clarity to why I wanted to do that.
Really? Did you write it down?
When you talked about your daughters.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is so simple. We are all in this together, people. Mm-hmm. We all want a bright future for America. And today is the day. Today is the single event that we can all participate and you can make a difference.
Yep. Yep.
So vote like it is your vote that is going to be the deciding vote.
Yep.
Get in there and vote.
In case you missed it this morning briefly, I have two daughters who each voted on either side of the aisle. And my message to them was, as long as you are voting your conscience and you know why you are voting the way that you are voting, just vote. Just vote.
Just vote.
Just vote.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
That's exactly right. Good stuff. You're a good dad, Davis.
I get lucky once in a while, dude. I don't know about good.
I did not vote as if my vote was the deciding. Can I
Big
do it
Apple
over?
Joe, everybody. Okay, now this ought to be interesting. Yeah. Go ahead. Why?
No, I just voted, but it wasn't like, okay, this is it. You are the deciding vote.
Why?
I don't know.
I kind of did. I kind of had that feeling when I was in there. Yeah. You know, and you know what? You know what? In the House district, you never know.
That's true.
It's a very tight race here, and my vote might have been the deciding vote. So
I'm going to go back to the polls and see if they can let me do it over.
Do it over again?
Yeah, try again. Yeah.
Well, you know, you're just outside of Chicago. Vote early, vote often.
Yeah.
I get it. I get what you're doing. I get what you're doing. All right, man, let's get to it.
Chip, Russian crop potential was back on traders' radar today. Production expected to be down from a year ago, potentially tightening wheat supplies from the Black Sea region. U.S. Census export data put all wheat shipments in September at 2.453 million metric tons. That was 33% ahead of September last year.
Yeah.
Crop condition updates from USDA put 41% of the winter wheat crop in good to excellent condition here at home. That's up 3 points from the previous week. Hard red winter wheat crop ratings increased slightly with a modest increase in soft red winter wheat ratings. December SRW wheat futures posted a second consecutive inside trading day with prices stuck between 560 and 580. December HRW wheat futures 5¾ higher at 576¾. December soft red wheat up 3¾ cents to 572½. December spring wheat gained a nickel and 1/2 to 610½. Chip.
Sharply steady is the trend in the wheat market right now.
USDA this morning announced the sale of 124,000 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery to unknown destinations in the current marketing year. Demand helped corn futures post a third consecutive higher close, with December corn posting an inside trading day with a low range open and a mid-range close. U.S. corn harvest 91% complete as of November 3. That's 16 points ahead of the five-year average pace. Gains in corn futures were limited by improved growing conditions in Brazil and Argentina. December corn futures today, 2 cents higher, 418½. March corn up 2 cents, 432. July corn futures closed at 443½. That's up a penny and a quarter, Chip.
We'll talk to Brian Grady here in a bit on whether or not that corn demand can move the needle on the supply and demand reports coming up at the end of the week.
January soybean futures also posted an inside trading day with a low range open and a mid-range close. Crude oil futures were higher again today, but soybean oil futures traded lower for a second consecutive session. The low range close in bean oil is pointing to a test of support around the 44 cent level. Soybean meal futures were slightly mixed. Forecasters see mostly favorable growing conditions in the biggest production areas of Brazil and Argentina over the next 2 weeks. January beans were 4½ cents higher today, 10.01¾ cents. March beans up 3 cents, 10.14¾. July beans closed at 10.43¼. That's up 1¾ cents. The January contract pops up over 10, Chip.
Yeah. December crude oil today up 63 cents a barrel. December bean oil down 57 points, moving in opposite directions. Weird.
December cotton today was 2 points higher at 69.65. Your livestock closes quickly. December live cattle 30 cents lower, 184.77½. Jan feeders 7½ cents lower at 242.35. And on your hogs, December lean hogs $2.10 lower, 81.12½. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Matt Bennett, agmarket.net. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
Good. Happy get out and vote day.
Yeah. I got that done first thing this morning and tried to beat the line.
Attaboy. Get that sticker and get it early in the day. So, markets feel, I said it on wheat, sharply steady, kind of putting the brakes on volatility right now, aren't they?
Yeah, it just seems like we're kind of waiting around. I mean, I think, of course, we're waiting around on the election a little bit. I want to see November WASD. Usually isn't too exciting of a report, but I think, you know, there's been a pretty decent demand. Yeah, I know you said you're going to talk about that with Brian later. I think, you know, our team feels like maybe USDA makes a little adjustment this month as far as demand goes. Big question is, are they going to adjust, you know, production? I think it's possible. They're probably close to a number at this point. But, yeah, I think that the people want to see what this report looks like. It just seems like there's not a lot out there to really push the market around, so to speak. So just not much news.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you what, the expectations on the corn yield are kind of like the polls on the presidential race. They really are. I mean, people are leaning in both directions on going into this report. Where are you leaning on corn yield?
We actually said unchanged on corn because, to be honest, we were a little bit some of us were up, some of us were down, not too far either way. But on beans, we went down 0.8. So I think we were one of the lower bean yields. We feel pretty strongly, based upon all the evidence we've seen from our growers, that bean yield ought to be down this month.
Yeah. Yep. It was just a rotten finish for that bean crop in too many spots. Not enough rain, so our bean size is pulling things down. Matt, good stuff, man. Good to talk to you. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Yep, later, guys.
All right, man. That is Matt Bennett, agmarket.net. Okay, coming up next, we are going to get into a conversation with Brian Grady, the editor of Pro Farmer. We've got the elections to cover. Federal Open Market Committee, supply and demand at the end of it's a busy week. We'll cover it with Brian next.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Elevate your game and set your sights on Denver with a 2025 Commodity Classic. With technology that moves faster than fluctuating markets and information as important as a million-dollar rain, Commodity Classic is designed for growers of all kinds, where you'll broaden your horizons as you improve yield and ROI one bushel at a time. Take your operation to new heights and join us for Elevating Excellence in Agriculture, March 2nd through 4th in Denver. Learn more at commodityclassic.com.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at agmarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's risk of loss in trading futures and/or options.
Okay, antibodies, huddle up. We're a great team, but the flu is dominating. The good news is the human we're protecting just got his flu shot. That means all of us antibodies have strong new gear that will help us fight and defend against the flu. We must win so that our human can stay healthy and help protect the people he cares about most.
Let's work as a team to defend against the flu. Gear up with a flu shot to help protect yourself and others and reduce your risk of being sick or hospitalized with the flu. Learn more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Want to get
building a new home or remodeling and need a new plumber? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a perk test or septic system? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need sewer line cleaning or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a new water heater or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. From basic plumbing to big projects, call Chris Bauer of Bauer Plumbing and Septic Service at 715-672-8224. That's 715-672-8224.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Election Day.
Jump in there real quick. I thought maybe you were taking a nap or something.
No.
I was going to talk about the sixth lower close that December Live Cattle Futures posted today.
Okay.
I didn't get to mention that in the news. This, despite heavyweight choice graded box beef values jumping $1.77 this morning on moderate movement. Six consecutive lower closes. We've been watching this fat cattle market pretty closely, and I don't know. Maybe here we go?
Well, six consecutive lower closes, maybe there it went.
We maybe went.
I don't know. But the way that box beef market is trading, good grief. Not only was it higher. Mm-hmm. Okay, but let's check it out real quick. 318.68. 318.68 on the choice heavyweight, or the heavyweight choice graded box. 318.68. We moved 70 loads this morning. Mm-hmm. The choice select spread is out to almost $32.
See, I feel like we can recover from here. Maybe we got one more run in us. Huh?
All right, let's figure it out. Brian Grady, editor, Pro Farmer. How you doing, Beej?
Great, Chip. Thanks.
All right, we looking at the right stuff on cattle?
Toppy action in the futures. We pulled back in the beef, but it's still strong. The cash market softened a little bit for the first time in 8 weeks. And so I think we put in short-term tops in here. We're due for a pullback, and I can't rule out another buck to $3 lower in the futures probably. I don't see a whole lot more down than that, to be honest with you. And I think we're going to probably make another run when we move into the spring time frame next year. But we'll have to see. Demand has held up really well. Congratulations, U.S. consumer, because they are, in the face of slowed exports, the U.S. consumer is continuing to buy beef despite record or near record retail prices. And so that, I think, is the story, more so than anything else, is how long that domestic beef demand holds up.
Yeah, which is a function of the economy, which is a function of, the jobs market in particular, and the way that the jobs numbers stunk it up in October. And, you got to go back and look at some of the downside revisions in August and September too. It makes the fact that we are using the beef that we're producing just that much more impressive to me. It's been a source of amazement for me for a while, and it's no less amazing right now as it was 2 years ago. So, it's pretty impressive, no doubt about it. I don't know what it means for us, because the fundamentals of the market right now, if the fundamentals had control of the live cattle trade, Beej, we wouldn't be lower 6 days in a row, would we?
You get to a point. I think it's healthy. I'll be honest with you. I think this pullback is healthy. You can only go up for so long, and we just had an incredible run. I think I've talked in the past about the cash market was kind of on a 3 to 5 week cycle, and we saw 7 straight weeks of strength. And so it was overdue for a pullback there, and it dropped all of 23 cents last week. So we broke that 7 week string with a 23 cent decline. It's basically nothing. I think that I will always tell you that pauses, pullbacks, just corrective in nature type of trade is healthy for markets. It doesn't matter what market it is. When you get in troubles, when moves start to go parabolic and things like that, and then they get overdone, significantly overdone, and just you can't sustain them. And so letting the futures pull back, the fundamentals kind of, consolidate, let's say, that is healthy in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, I think you could call yourself a cattle bull, even if you expect this market to set back $1 to $3.
Absolutely. That would be nothing more than corrective in nature. So if we drop another dollar from here, we've only retraced 38% of the rally from the September low. So that's nothing more than a correction in a bull market. You know, if you go down another $1.50 from there, then it's about a 50% retracement. And so, you know, you really haven't done technical damage at that point in time. Right. You put in a short-term top, sure, and you've pulled back from the highs. But all things considered, you're still, bulls still probably have the upper hand at that point in time.
Gotcha. Okay. The cash lean hog index, higher for a 12th consecutive day, I believe it was.
And it'll be up for a 13th day tomorrow. So just that contra seasonal strength continues. Pretty incredible, to be honest with you. We're starting to see in the futures action. So we saw hefty losses the past 2 days here, and we moved into that gap that had formed about a week ago or so on the daily chart, December chart. If we gap lower tomorrow, it leaves an island top formation on the chart, and then you're starting to see bigger cracks. And seasonally, let's keep in mind, we should be under pressure right now. So to see us rally contra seasonally, both in the cash and the pork and then the futures, and it's rather unusual. It's not that it hasn't happened in the past, but it's unusual to see it happen. I think that just seasonal pressure, if anything, the futures are telling us that, hey, reality check here a little bit, and they kind of think that the strength, contra-seasonal strength in the cash market is running out of steam.
You interested in building the price floor in either cattle or hogs right now?
Yeah, so we did in hogs last week, and the cattle we haven't yet. We're still longer-term bullish there because of the seasonality. So, I mean, we should face pressure through the end of the year, at least in the hog market from a seasonal standpoint. A lot of the recent years, that's carried into early the next year, and so we feel like wintertime coverage is definitely warranted in the hog market. On the cattle side, I can't argue against it. I just think that there's probably limited downside unless some unknown event happens. You know, if some bearish unknown event happens, then it's a different ballgame at that point in time, and you have to scramble to get hedge coverage in place.
Okay. What are you doing on feed for livestock guys?
So we're covered in cash. The meal market is a value buy at these levels, low $300. That has just been for quite some time. You have to go back to about 2007, 2008 to see where that was a kind of a ceiling level. It's been a floor level since that point in time. And you may say, well, what changed? Well, if you remember back to 2008, that was the 3-month strike at Argentine ports when they basically gave away their meal export business that they had completely dominated. So that was the game changer at that point in time. Since then, that $300 mark has kind of been a price floor. So I think that cash coverage, extended cash coverage is warranted in the meal market.
Okay. Corn?
Corn just kind of just chops around. It'll move up a little bit, move down a little bit. So I don't think there's any necessarily urgency. We do have some shorter term cash coverage in place for corn, not as extended as what the meal is at the moment.
Okay. All right, very good. So I'm trying to figure out if I want to start that conversation. No, here's what I'll do. Here's what I'll do. Because when we get you on here, we get a chance to talk about some cotton trade. So let's do that for the rest of this segment here. Talk about a tough market. What's your take on what's happening in cotton?
It's kind of bleeding, but we're holding about in the mid range of that August low to the late September high, that zone at the moment. The big concern is China and what happens there on a demand front and those types of things. So, every time we rally a little bit, we find fresh sellers. Every time we drop, we seem to have a pullback of significance, but then you find some buyers underneath the market. Eventually that's going to change and we'll get a trending move. I don't know which direction it's going to go. USDA will keep updating its cotton production forecast as we move forward here. And so we'll see if anything comes about of that. If there's abandonment, increase in abandoned acres, what USDA does with yield, what the relationship is between those two factors and that type of thing. But really, I think the cotton market comes down to demand. And
yes,
do we see China come back as a an active buyer? And we just haven't seen that. I mean, the weekly export sales data has been poor for quite some time now. The export shipments have been poor, and we just don't see the type of demand that's needed to push prices above that 70-cent level. So we just kind of chop around that level.
Yeah, yeah. If the importers have been front-running the elections in corn, I would have thought there would have been a little front-running in cotton, but with China being the buyer that we pay most attention to, I don't think they were going to front run anything. They're just...
No, and the only reason they're buying cotton is so that they can ship out product with the restrictions.
Right, exactly. All right, we're in the middle of a conversation with Brian Grady. We'll continue it next here on AgriTalk.
Are you ready to unleash superior seeding performance in your operation? Choose from two revolutionary Great Plains drills. The BD7600 Min-Till Drill, renowned for its seeding consistency, large capacity, and innovative technology, including Drill Command. And the new BD7410 Drill, whose transport width under 10 feet delivers great maneuverability through gates and down narrow roadways. Learn more at your local Great Plains dealer or greatplainsag.com. Great Plains, harvest starts here.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where December HRW wheat futures were 5 3/4 higher at 576 3/4. December SRW wheat up 3 3/4 cents to 572 1/2. December corn futures, 2 cents higher, 418 1/2. March corn up 2 cents to 432. January soybean futures, 4 1/2 cents higher at 1001 3/4 cents. March beans up 3 cents to 1014 3/4. December cotton today, 2 points higher, 69.65. On your livestock, December fat cattle were 30 cents lower at 184.77 1/2. January feeder futures, 7 1/2 cents lower, 242.35. And December lean hog futures, $2.10 lower, 81.12 1/2. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
Okay, what's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit wisconsinsoybean.org.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
dreary and soggy today, with scattered showers and even some thunderstorms expected this afternoon, which could be strong to severe, bringing some gusty winds. Otherwise today, expect patchy fog, highs only reaching the upper 40s, and breezy winds. For fall and winter getaways, check out Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com. Currently, it's 45.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Welcome back. I'm Chip. It is Tuesday afternoon. We're in the middle of a conversation with Brian Grady, editor at Pro Farmer. Beej, it's election day. I'm not going to ask you who you're voting for. I'm curious, as the markets start to figure out who's going to win this presidential race, do you think there's going to be much of a reaction?
Going into it, there has been what's the so-called Trump trade and everything. And if you remember back to his presidency, it was pretty positive for the stock market. The dollar appreciated, and so those are some markets to watch, I think, as the results come in. Obviously, on the ag side of things, the trade front is pretty critical, and so how the international markets react, China in particular, probably will tell us as much as anything. It's going to be a long night. Who knows what the outcome will be? It's a tight race from everything that all the experts say, and I'm far from an election expert, and don't want to be, to be honest with you. But that and a weatherman, those are probably the two things that I don't aspire to be in life, right at the top of the list anyway.
Love it. Love it. Trade is going to be something, and not just trade, not just the numbers, but the policy. Trump's going to use, if he wins, Trump's going to use trade as a tool. Harris, I don't know if she's going to pay any attention to it or not. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it'll probably be status quo. So that will keep everything that's in place tariff-wise on China in particular. I think both have said that they plan to renegotiate the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, so the old NAFTA, yeah. Which is the North American Trade Pact with Mexico and Canada. So I think that both of those countries are bracing for that, no matter who wins. There is some uncertainty. Obviously, Canada and Mexico being neighbors, major trading partners for agriculture and other products for that matter. China being the world's number one consumer of commodities, that matters obviously. I think that those are probably the big markets obviously that need to be watched from the trade front. But definitely Trump, he says upwards of 60% of tariffs on Chinese goods is what he's threatened. That would be a biggie.
Yeah. Yep. No doubt. No doubt. Biofuels, either candidate, does it strike a chord with you on what it might mean for biofuels policies going forward?
Well, Trump, drill, baby, drill. I think that mantra's been out there. He's used that one several times. So that one would favor the oil side of things. And Harris, she'd be stricter on the drilling, fracking, those types of things. Biofuels, UCO, used cooking oil coming in from China. I think that's probably one that could be definitely impacted, especially if Trump wins there. Neither one has said much on biodiesel or SAF that I'm aware of. And then EVs, obviously Harris would push for electric vehicles. That's a push that's been on with the current administration, which she's a part of, obviously. But the interesting one on Trump is that Elon Musk, is a, how does that come into play with the EVs with, Tesla and everything? So that one's unknown. And you know, if you didn't have Elon there, then you probably say Trump is going to reverse the EV stuff as much as he can, and you know, throw the brakes on it. But that one's an interesting dynamic to see how that plays out if Trump wins.
Yeah. Basically, what, as I understand it, he's saying, listen, I'm not going to mandate the conversion to EVs, but if you want to buy one, hey, that's completely up to you. Go ahead and buy one.
Yeah.
So yeah. The food prices have become, they were a hot topic. They kind of moved to the back burner, and here the past couple of days, they've moved back to the front burner. You've got Harris saying that she's going to go after corporate price gouging. I mean, is that something that in the meat markets we should look at and say, geez, watch out for what might happen here?
Yeah, I think so. I just don't quite get that one. I mean, she's targeted retailers, grocers basically is the, and you know, their margins are about 1% the last time I checked. So there isn't a whole lot of meat on that bone, to go after. So that one's going to be an interesting one to see how it plays out and how that, you know, her policy moves would come into play and impact. I think, meat obviously would be the one to watch there. And just, you know, the whole pricing structure stuff that we've seen come through USDA and everything else with the current administration, on the livestock side of things, livestock and poultry.
You know, when it comes to this food price and the price gouging potential investigation or whatever, I mean, it's only meat, milk, and eggs, Brian. It's not like it's the staples or anything like that. It's just meat, milk, and eggs. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. All the stuff I eat.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. Federal Open Market Committee meeting this week, Beach. I said it before, the jobs growth in October stunk. I know that there were some weather issues involved there, but they revised down the numbers from August and September. For the first time in quite a while, I'm kind of seeing justification for another quarter point down in the Fed funds rate. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think a quarter point's locked in. I think that the jobs data probably cemented that one. Probably, you know, the greater focus I think should be moving forward. I don't think that, you know, it'll be a surprise if the Fed doesn't cut rates 25 basis points on Thursday. Okay. Moving forward, you know, what are the plans and how aggressive will they be? How active do they feel like they need to be? Inflation is moderated basically almost to their target level of 2%. So the jobs then labor market becomes even greater focus because they have a dual mandate. Most people focus on, and we have been focused on inflation and getting that to that 2% target. But there's also, you know, gainful employment, full employment, you know, however you want to say it, is the other side of the mandate, the dual mandate that the Fed faces.
Yep. Okay. So lower interest rates. All right. The other big event that's coming up at the end of the week, and we've talked a little bit about the demand side of the balance sheets here, but we've got the crop production, supply, and demand coming up on Friday. USDA in October put the national average corn yield at 183.8 bushels per acre. What's your lean here?
Down. The market isn't expecting much down. And in all honesty, the November reports, unless there's some sort of supply-side surprise with the corn or soybean crop estimates, is usually relatively tame in terms of the USDA reports. And so the market is just expecting a little bit smaller crop, a little bit lower yield and on the corn side of things. And you know, the same is the case on the soybean crop for that matter. So it would be a surprise, I think, if to some, if they go up, especially on soybeans. Corn, I guess you could, there are a couple estimates within the Reuters polls and Bloomberg polls that do anticipate a increase in the corn yield. So we'll see, but I don't think there'll be a whole lot of change.
Okay. And hit me with your bean yield again. Let's see, the bean yield in October was 53.1. the trend has been choppy.
Yeah, 52.8 is the average estimate from Reuters. So okay. Down 0.3%, or 0.3 bushel.
All right. Doesn't seem like that's enough on the supply side of things to move the needle much on carryover.
No. And, you know, so the carryover, they're about 50 million bushels down on corn. You know, the corn export pace has been pretty stellar here. And so I think that you can move that up and pretty easily and, you know, a little bit smaller crop size. That combination gives you ending stocks at, we'll call it 1.95 billion bushels is what the estimate is going into the report, just south of that a little bit. Okay. Soybean ending stocks 532 versus 550 last month. And so a decline there. And then, you know, wheat's kind of the left behind one because they don't have a production estimate anymore. That one was set at the end of September. The average estimate is 813 million bushels. That would be up 1 million bushels from last month. So basically a nothing report for the wheat market.
What is wheat's role in the grain markets right now?
Oh, you know, good question. I mean, U.S. is kind of competitive on the global front, but the Black Sea continues to dominate. And I think that that's the bigger issue. How much does the Black Sea countries, Russia in particular, restrict their exports during the second half of the year? And if they limit them to a fair amount, then the U.S. can probably get some of that business back. But you know, if they don't and they continue to actively export, and all signs point to them trying to throw the brakes on anyway, that being the Russian government, then I think probably the U.S. can pick up some business the second half of the year.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Good stuff, Beach. Thank you so much. We will talk to you again tomorrow morning in the morning hour, okay?
Absolutely. And I encourage everybody to go out and vote tonight if you haven't already done so.
Attaboy. Brian Grady, editor, Pro Farmer. Davis and I will be right back to wrap up today's AgriTalk.
Looking for outdoor power equipment for your lawn and garden projects? Anibis Silo is your home for Husqvarna and Toro lawn and garden equipment. Anibis Silo has the right equipment solution for you to tackle any job. Need a piece of equipment repaired? Anibis Silo also now has small engine service and repair. The service staff can repair all makes and models of lawn and garden equipment. Visit Anibis Silo, Highway 25 Durand, for your lawn and garden equipment needs.
Shawls Gas, downtown Durand, is your authorized Whirlpool dealer. Reputation, quality, pricing, and personal service are what Shawls customers have come to know and trust. Shawls offers a full line of Whirlpool appliances, including dishwashers, microwaves, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers, with installation and service. Clean, cost-effective propane offered by Shawls is the answer for your home energy needs. Visit Shawls Gas for all of your propane and Whirlpool appliance needs. Shawls Gas, downtown Durand.
As the presidential campaign comes to a close, Kamala Harris is attacking environmental activist and presidential candidate Jill Stein. What's the truth? Kamala Harris has flip-flopped on the environment. Harris was opposed to fracking. Now she supports it. She supported the Green New Deal. Now she won't act on it. And what exactly has Kamala Harris done to stop PFAS, toxic forever chemicals, from leaking into our groundwater? Jill Stein will ban fracking, remove PFAS from our water, and pass the Green New Deal. And while Kamala Harris won't stop the genocide in Gaza and sides with Israel, Jill Stein will stop the genocide, demand Israel's ceasefire, and has a plan for peace. On November 5th, cast a true vote for the future of this country. Vote Jill Stein for president. Vote Green. Paid for by Badger Values. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. Badger Values is responsible for the content of this advertising. BadgerValues.com.
Nitrogen stabilizer. You might be falling for a losing strategy. Low-rate products promise great results, but may lack the potency of higher active ingredient concentrations. So great isn't always what you get. Instead of putting your yield at risk, put your trust in Anvil Nitrogen Stabilizer and Super U Premium Fertilizer from Koch Agronomic Services. Both offer higher active ingredient concentrations imitator brands can't match. See the difference at defendyourn.com.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Here's my guarantee to you, listener. No kissing on AgriTalk. Ever. Ever. Don't let the song fool you. Welcome back to it, everybody. It is AgriTalk on your election day, November 5. The Tuesday of Tuesdays. Davis Michelson here along with Chip Flory. Chip, you and I, we're news guys. We're journalists. We can't escape this stuff. There have been so many polls and experts saying so many things. Yep. It's been really hard for me to kind of get a feel for what the average Joe is thinking this election season. Are you having that problem as well? It's just hard to cut through all of that noise. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, I know what you mean.
Well,
but I think part of the reason might be because the average Joes out there seem to be pretty evenly split, right?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
I thought it might be helpful if we took a moment to check in with some of our listeners at a watering hole. Now, this is way out west. I'm not even going to say where this is. But this is the U.S. constituency here. Let's just see what they have to say.
Well, you have, stranger. Believe I'll have an AgriTalk. AgriTalk?
Well, there you go, Chip. That's the feel from the man on the street.
Love it.
Not sure that gets us anywhere, although it does kind of get me to daylight savings time.
Okay.
Gets me to daylight savings time, which is something we didn't really discuss or talk about. I feel remiss because I was behind the big green leafy microphone on Friday last week.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything about it. But here's the thing. It's kind of a special daylight savings for me this year.
Oh.
Because I've been very prudently saving up my daylight. You know, I work inside. I'm in front of a computer for most of the day. I'm just wondering, and I'm sure you know this, where do I go to access my daylight savings account?
If you're banking it, math, how do you withdraw it?
Yes! By yes. my math, I should have sunlight till 8 p.m. until about February 19th or so.
That ain't happening, baby.
If I can just get to it. I don't know my PIN. I don't know.
Sunset.
Who are you saving with this?
I don't know. But I like the direction that you're going.
Capture this. Somehow.
You know, it might be like Bitcoin. I don't know.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I'm going to work on that. I'll work on that for next time.
All right. Yeah. All right.
And this is nothing new either from Matt Bennett. I think he hit it right on the head. You know, everything, and he mentioned it in reference to the grains, just kind of waiting around for this election. Like every.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
And let's do this in a. In a civil way. Let's do this in a legal way. Let's do this above board, across the board. Let's do it above board.
Yeah.
You know, the last time that this all went down, I was tracking some of the progress out on the East Coast, Georgia in particular, back in 2020. And leading up to it, I'd made a couple of contacts that I wanted to keep up with, and we were texting on election. How are things looking in this county? How are things looking in that county? Mm-hmm. And I actually threw out at one time, "Oh my gosh, watch what's going on!" I think it was Clayton County, Clayton County, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Watch out, what's happening in Clayton County? It looks like they're going to shut down the counting for the night. This is not good. They shouldn't do that. Let's, you know, Godspeed to everybody and anybody that is part of the process.
Yes.
Thank you beyond words for doing what you are doing and being willing to do it.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't quit.
Yeah, I know.
Don't quit tonight. Let's get it done. There's got to be a way that this can get done tonight. Hopefully you've got the plan. Hopefully the plan has already been initiated. And hopefully we can get some final counts done tonight. The counts that matter. The counts that matter, okay?
Yep. Yep.
But God bless you all that are that
oh man.
Are volunteering to make this happen today. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Jeez. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. We should probably talk a little bit about what you and Brian talked about, and I was thinking as you were asking him about feed early in the conversation, man, that was some pretty good meal and corn analysis just for those markets themselves.
Yeah.
On the basis of, you can buy feed here?
Yeah.
I thought it was great. Something clicked in my head when you guys were talking
right
about
up.
Feed needs. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And whenever you get to these meal prices down here where we're at now, $2.99.50 in the D's, $3.60 in the Jan, $3.03.30. Like Brian said, we're down around value areas.
I wanted you to say that. Yes.
Yes. And corn in the... in the low $4 range, you get into the cash market and you're looking at something in the high $3 range. Those you can make the buys and understand what your costs are so that you can manage the risk against it if you get those things bought up. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day and 8 to 14 day. They're both above normal temperatures and below and above normal precipitation. So above temps, above precip. That gets us all the way. The 8 to 14 day, gets us all the way out to November 19th already.
Wow.
What the heck? Wow. What the heck? It's unbelievable. All right.
Savings.
You know what I'm going to say, everybody. Get out there and vote.
Yep.
Get out there and get your job done. Tomorrow morning, Jim Mintert and a Farmer Forum. Go vote, everybody. God bless you. God bless America.
This fall, enhance your dry fertilizer and power crop performance with Titan XC. By increasing the availability of applied nutrients, Titan XC makes your dry fertilizer program more efficient and effective, meaning you can increase your yields while keeping money in your pocket. Ask for Titan XC on your dry fertilizer today and power crop performance next season. Visit CropFertility.com or contact your local Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant to learn more.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good